This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name. Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We are in Exodus chapter 35, and we're dealing with verse 4. And God's going to call for something. Moses is going to go out, and there's going to be a call for an offering. And I just want to show you some things about this. Just look at it and understand it and give you a little perspective on things, because oftentimes perspective helps us make decisions and helps us orient our lives in a way that we might not if we just blindly go into things. And we're in Exodus chapter 35, verse 4, and it says, Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, now notice, this is everyone that is a part of the children of God, a part of Israel. So every time I see that in scripture, when I'm reading it, I always think the church. I always think the kingdom of God. And I try to see if what is being said to them is either actually applicable, meaning that it goes through the cross and it comes out and it makes perfect sense in our modern times, or if it has spiritual meaning and understanding moving forward. And in all actuality, I think this has actual application. It has actual application, because the perspective that we need to have when we're dealing with God is that we are His kingdom. We're His children. We're a part of what we are. The mechanism. We are the group of people. We are the family of God that He is using today to do His will and to do His work in the world. And they were, the children of Israel were back then, and to some degree still today, though we question and figure out that question is often asked to me many times. What is it? Where does Israel fit in? They definitely do fit in, because they're in the New Testament. They're dealt with by the Apostle Paul. They're dealt with in the book of the Revelation. They're an important part and an important feature of what God is doing in the world today and will continue to be. And they're important, but we are the kingdom of God at work, and they were the light to the world back then. We're the light to the world today. He says, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Now, oftentimes when we start talking about money, and interestingly, I've been talking about it a little bit lately, it's not a normal aspect of my preaching ministry or my teaching ministry to spend a lot of time on money. I've never really been in a place where money was an issue. And when I say that, when God's people have a proper perspective on their position with God, money usually is not an issue, because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And that is what Jesus taught us. And if people's hearts are bent toward God, their treasure is bent toward God. So money is not really ever a major issue in those situations. If money is an issue in a body, it usually comes from two different situations. First, mismanagement from the top, meaning that whoever is at the top taking care of the finances is overspending or not being diligent in using spiritual gifts such as administration, leadership, things like that, to handle money properly. Or the people do not have their hearts bent toward God. And that could be a leadership issue also. It could be that they're not being taught God's word. The Spirit of God is being limited in a place. And so that God's people are not on fire for Him. They don't have a passion for who He is. Or it could just be that the people just don't have a desire to know or to walk with God. And all those issues can cause financial trouble for a congregation. And the answer to those issues are myriad. How to fix each one of those issues has different and varied answers to it. And to go through them, it would take me many weeks of Bible studies to deal with all those issues. But that being said, when God's people are motivated toward Him, when God's people have a proper view of their relationship with Him, then usually money's not a problem. In fact,
understanding, and that's the perspective that we need to have, understanding when God says, take an offering, when God says, take from among you an offering to the Lord, he tells Moses to tell the people that, we need to understand that we are living sacrifices. And Paul says that, do you not know that you are a living sacrifice? Which means that an offering to the Lord is just a natural, innate part of who we are because we offer all of ourselves to the Lord. We understand that all that we have and all that we ever shall have comes from him. Every blessing, every good and pleasing blessing comes from our Father above. And we understand that the very grace that we live in each and every day and the goodness that comes from that grace is born of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his being a sacrifice unto death, the final sacrifice that was needed by blood to cleanse us of our sins. And so when he offered that sacrifice, now we don't have to give a physical death sacrifice, although there are many who are martyred for the good news of Jesus Christ, but that is not the requirement of us all. But what is a requirement of us all is that our lives be given over as a sacrifice to God. And so obviously an offering as an aspect of our lives being given over as an offering to God is not very hard to figure out. In fact, it's pretty easy to figure out. That's what you do. Your life is a living sacrifice to God. When I have rough days and rough times and things that are going on around me and there's just myriads of things with church, we're working through things and getting things done in the church and organizing and equipping and all that kind of stuff. And then my law practice and cases and dealing with very deep and painful things. And then family, wanting to make sure that I'm investing in my family and also taking care of the things God has blessed us with from my family in the past. Although, so when all those things come to bear and I get up in the morning and I'm wearied and broke down and tore up, I don't get up and say, I'm going to just take the day off from God. Why? Because my life is a living sacrifice. I get up and say, today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I've been given an opportunity to live my life today, and you have too. And you can go through all the things that you have to deal with all the time and put yourself right in the same position when you put those feet on the ground early in the morning and you think, I didn't even sleep enough last night, but I'm going again. Why am I going again? Because my life means something. It's meaningful. And why is it meaningful? Well, Jesus paid for it. And he has now empowered it and filled it full of grace. And I ought to walk in that. I ought to walk in that fully and completely. And I shouldn't treat my life as something mundane or something that has no value. In fact, it has very great value. And so even though I might be tired, and even though I might be weird, and even though I might not be at my best, my life is a living sacrifice to God. And so when he says, take from me an offering, that ought to be just something that I just, in my life, my life is an offering. Okay, take from me an offering. He says, take from offering for the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart or has a willing heart. Wow. All right. That is the real issue. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And really, when I was talking about churches being in financial trouble, there are times when they're in trouble because of that poor leadership. But oftentimes they're in trouble financially because the people don't have a willing heart. And a willing heart is something that is an issue between you and God. And there are things that can be done to remedy that situation, but ultimately that's a personal situation. And when I put my feet on the ground like you do every morning when we get up and get ready to go, is your heart turned and bent toward doing what God has for you to do that day? Is it or is it not? Are we or ain't we? That's the way it is. And it really comes down to that. It's not even an issue of it. It's just, are you not going to do and be who God has made you to be? And is your life going to be that sacrifice to him? And the answer ought to always be yes. It should be. And so he says, whoever has a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that I can go through all these things and give you the biblical pictures of them, but I've already done that. When we were going through the instructions God gave for making all the accoutrements or the furniture for the tabernacle or making the tabernacle or actually making the outer courts and all those things, I went through all these pictures. But I want you to notice that the offerings are very, very varied. They're different. He says, bring gold and silver and bronze and blue, purple and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skin and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointed oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. That's a lot of different stuff. And it, when you say, does that apply today? Do y'all want us to bring in onyx stones and put them in the offering plate? No, but I will say this, and I do think it's important. I do think churches limit themselves a whole lot when they just ask for people to give 10%. I think that the whole picture that God is giving us here as an offering is that people have a lot of things to bring to the kingdom of God, and we shouldn't. And really, this is why I never really focus on money. I focus on the heart of the people, and once the heart of the people is bent toward God, the money's not an issue, and I've said that already today. But what I focus on is people bringing their unique selves to the table. And you have many things, many precious things that make your life to bring as an offering to God. And it's such a strange story and a strange song. But at Christmas time, the little drummer boy, he didn't have anything but his song, so he brought his song. It is a strange thing, but it's biblical. In fact, it's really biblical. I think bringing things to God that are a unique and important aspect of our lives is what the kingdom's about. If you have a gift, you ought to use it. If you have a talent or a skill, you ought to use it. You say, what's the difference? Giftings are spiritual. Talents and skills are physical, but they're all important, and they're all a part of who you are. Your money's important, but your abilities are just as important. The time that God has given us is the only truly fungible asset that we have to sell each day. It is the asset that we either use for our benefit, for someone else's benefit, or it could be a conglomeration of those for the kingdom's benefit. We sell our time each day. Sometimes we sell it very, very for a very low price. We just give it away for nothing. And oftentimes when we use it for the kingdom work, we sell it as a precious rate. And if you're working for the kingdom of God, no matter where you are, whether it be at work or whether it be at home or whether it be with other people who are doing actual what we call church work, or whether it's doing kingdom work in your community, being a part of what God is doing there, even though it might not be being led by God, if you're there, you're the kingdom. So it's definitely a work for God wherever you're at. When you're in the midst of doing that, you are being a living sacrifice. And we've got to do that. And we bring all kinds of things to the gold. Sure, gold and silver and bronze, but being a blue and purple scarlet thread and fine linen and goat's hair, those are all pictures of coverings for sin, and they're pictures of the royalty of God. And then you've got all the oil and the spices and the anointing oil, which is the power of God, the presence of God, and the anointing of God, and all those things that he asked for. And then these onyx stones, which are solid pictures of who we are, where we come from, our past, and our legacies that God has given us. All these things are just beautiful pictures of our lives given as a sacrifice to God. And when we are doing that regularly, all the time out there, giving of who we are for the kingdom of God, it's a sweet sacrifice that God loves and God receives and accepts, and he wants it. And it is honoring to not only God, but it is honoring to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, who gave the final sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And now we give a sacrifice of love, of peace, of joy, of power, of grace when we give of our lives. And a lot of times that is money. You go, why is it money rather than doing all the other stuff, Pastor? Because money is important to you. It is really important to you. You can't eat without it. You can't live without it. You can't have, this time of year in Alabama, you can't have air conditioning without it. And we need air conditioning. Lord, please send air conditioning. That's the way I feel about it most of the time in August in Alabama. Please send us some air conditioning. But the truth is that money is important to us. And when we want God to be God and Jesus to be Lord of all, the only way for that to really happen is that he be Lord of our finances also. And the only way for that to happen is for us to give him enough so that we have to trust him for it. And that's why we do it that way. But ultimately, our whole lives are living sacrifices for him. And so when God asks for an offering, meaning he asks for you to give of your life to him in whatever way, however that forms up, however God has given it to you, you should do it. You should do it. You should do it. You should do it. And you should reap the wonderful reward that comes from it, which is intimacy with God and glorifying Jesus Christ for what he's done for you. I know we're going to do that. We've been doing it. We're going to do it more and more. We're going to see more and more people do it, more and more people do it in powerful and new ways. And we're going to expect God to show himself for who he is, he is an awesome God, and his love is abounding and amazing and more than we could ever imagine. And we should enjoy it and expect it and walk in it.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.